This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
I got to say, I heard our professional radio voice talking about how you can catch Warren's news on Rumble and all that kind of stuff. And I forgot to mention, because we did talk about it, but we're now streaming. You can download our podcast if you miss us live, which I don't know why. I mean, we're during your lunch hour.
Why would you miss us?
I mean, why would you miss us with your ham sandwich or your gabagool? And you can listen to Hunter and I chat about all kinds of things. But you can stream us on Spotify, iHeart, all the podcasting, all the platforms out there. And I did, there's this guy, and I saw that producer Dave sent it to us. He's like a small independent guy that kind of does your metrics. I looked him up because I wasn't sure. I'm like, is this a scam? Turns out he's legit. Apparently, we're doing pretty well in Scotland.
All right.
Yes. So, woohoo.
I'm trying to think because my grandmother actually many years ago went and did all the lineage and tracing. And I'm trying to think if there's any Scottish in me, and that might be what's so appealing.
Everybody's got a little Scot in them. Come on now. I got the Irish side, and so, but apparently I can't do a brogue. My son does a very good brogue, but yeah, I saw that. I'm like, well, the Scots like us, so that's good. So yeah, you can always catch us. Definitely give us a like, follow us, give us those five stars. Like the national guys always say those five stars really help the algorithm to help us pull up there. I've followed us; it pops up in mine, and I, because I'm a podcast. I love podcasts. Mm-hmm. I listen to them all the time. I have a bunch of favorites, and they're my favorite.
Well, and later on in the show, we can talk about ways the government might, you know, try and dissuade you from, you know, listening to podcasts or anything else.
Without spoiling anything, you and I talked before we came on, and I'm like, literally two of these stories I had to look up to make sure they weren't satire. That's how crazy this is.
Yeah, so we'll get to that one a little later.
Is this the Babylon Bee?
This is our teaser because, yeah, this is... because one of the stories I actually saw a few days ago, and yeah. I'm like, oh, that's got to be just total made up, you know,
it has to
story.
Be. So did you double check it too? Because there's always that chance that it could be a hoax, and you know, we try to do our due diligence every now and again, something slips by. But anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later. I did want to mention, and I don't know, time change over the weekend. Today is National Napping Day. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Oh my gosh, I feel like I could use that. That hour really kind of kicked me in the patootie because my 2-year-old has that cough and cold all weekend long.
Gosh.
So she wasn't sleeping well, waking up coughing, which of course then means parents are waking up while you know, she has her little coughing fits and this and that. So it's like I needed that hour, and I'm really upset that I lost it.
See, for a couple of days, I'm going to be like, it's really only 11:09.
Yeah, I had to explain it to one of my other kids last night. I'm like, you need to get to bed right now because, yes, it's only this time, but it feels to you like it's this. And 7:30 in the morning is going to feel like 6:30 and 5:30. And oh, yeah.
And you got to know the kids are like, this is crazy. Why do you do it? And then I'm going to go, ah, the wisdom of children.
Right.
You're right. Why do we do this?
Wait. Why do we put so much on children in our political role, but this is the one we leave off of their plate? Because darn it, they have the right idea.
Totally. So I cannot nap. If I take a nap, I'm like down, and then I'll wake up and it's dark, and then I'm even worse. I'm like, wait a minute, what day is it? So I don't nap. I do not. Today's also National Barbie Day. I was never a big Barbie fan. My Barbie had, you know, I always cut her hair and she had compound fractures. So I just wasn't a Barbie girl. Really wasn't.
So my mother will tell you that the favorite gift she ever got from me when I was growing up was a Barbie doll.
What?
Because I'm the oldest.
Not a Ken doll.
So my mom is the oldest of six, four of which were sisters. Okay. So she's got, you know, five girls in her family.
Okay.
But she only had three boys. So she wanted to find little subtle ways to kind of bring it back around. Things like when I was little, she actually bought a Cabbage Patch doll for me.
Really?
And the first thing I did was I put it face down on the ground and tried to drive it like a truck. So for years, she had that Cabbage Patch doll with scratches on the nose because of me doing that. So I was 12, 13, 14 or something. And I gave her a Barbie doll so that she got that girl that she always wanted. Granted, now she has umpteen granddaughters, so right. I think we fixed that.
Good, good. Well, I mean, this one, I wouldn't mind this. It's National Meatball Day. And then, of course, for you with the Barbie and your mom, it also is National Get Over It Day.
That's right. Which is what we all have to do eventually,
I know, right?
Right?
Your parents do the best they can. All of us as parents do the best we can. This one, I'm not even, well, I guess I'll mention it. It's sort of silly. I don't know. Is this National Fill Your Staple Day? Which is funny, Hunter, you can see here, I do have staples out. To fill my stapler, and I did not know today's the day to do it, so I need to do it today.
Well, that's good, apparently. Because I've gotten in this horrible habit of whenever the stapler runs out of staples, I go ahead and fill it.
Wow.
I need to really just set my calendar and just do it on the one day.
Yeah. All right. Well, a lot of stuff happening this day in history. This is interesting. I mean, obviously, this is one of the most important things ever written. 1776, Adam Smith published Wealth of Nations. Now, it is a shortened title. So if you know, it actually, the full title is An Inquiry into the Nature and Causes of the Wealth of Nations.
Mm-hmm.
Read it.
That's right. In 1822, Charles Graham is granted the first patent for false teeth.
I did not know that. That's interesting. I'm going to look that up. I want to know what they were made of in 1822.
I'm guessing wood. I would guess wood.
I'm thinking ivory, but I don't know. I don't know. In 1864, Ulysses S. Grant is named commanding general of the United States Union Army.
All right. And of course, the reason for it being Barbie Day is in 1959, the Barbie doll was introduced at a toy fair in New York City.
And that was by Ruth Handler, and she named it after her daughter, Barbie. And then, of course, the male doll was named after her son, Ken.
Oh.
There were real people behind all this.
There were. Did they have the body types that, you know,
get the smooth front? I don't know. I don't want to know. And I know I'll do this one, but I know you've got a funny story on this one. 1964. And I always wanted one of these. The Ford Mustang rolls off the assembly line. I always wanted a Mustang, never got one. Maybe someday.
I came close in my early 20s. I had an opportunity, but I'm kind of like, it needed enough work and I didn't have the time or money to do the work on it. You know, speaking of American muscle cars, I was
love
on.
Love them.
I was on. Yeah, who doesn't? Yeah. But I was on my way to work this morning, and I was following what looked like a relatively newer, I believe it was a Dodge Challenger.
Oh, and, okay. Oh, muscle cars.
Yeah.
Totally.
And but what's ironic about it is I followed it for a few miles. It dawned on me that it might be an electric car, and the exhaust sound is from a speaker. Because I'm literally watching it go, and the way the exhaust sounded, I expected the front end to nearly lift off the ground and the back end to just dig in deep and launch.
Yeah.
And it was barely cruising along.
But it had this big, like,
a big, loud noise. Yeah. And I didn't pay enough attention early enough to notice if it went fully silent when it came to a stop. It kind of dawned on me after I turned away from it that must be an electric car because the exhaust did not match the acceleration of this thing.
And what you could hear, it's almost like you've got this car and they've got a big giant playing card clothes pinned to the wheels. Here I am. I have a real muscle car.
I don't know for sure, but it was either that or the exhaust had been so modified and messed with that it was just making these really weird noises because it was things like it really sounded like it was in first or second gear and really getting on it. But yet I'm catching up to it and, you know, having to hit my brakes because I'm going faster than they are.
I have heard they basically have, they just have to add sound to it. And a lot of times I have a hybrid. It's so quiet. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I almost ran over Dave in the parking lot one time because he didn't hear me. And they are so quiet, but that's funny. And again, it is. It's like when putting a playing card on the wheels of your Huffy bike.
That's right.
When you were a kid to make it sound like a motorcycle. In 1975. Oh, that's you. Go ahead.
Yeah, well.
Sorry, I'm out of order.
No, it's okay. We got off on the muscle car tangent. Mm-hmm. Iraq launched an attack on the Kurds in 1975.
Interesting. In 79, a lawsuit forced Major League Baseball to allow female reporters into the locker room. I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of that at all.
It creates awkward moments. It has over the years.
Yeah.
And the opportunity for bad behavior, I think. And well, I think that's the other reason. Of course, it was, I'm sure, you know, it was a woman deciding I have the right to be here. Mm. But now you've kind of got Yeah.
Do we allow male reporters in female locker rooms?
Not that I've ever known of. But
what happened to equality? I'm not a fan. You know, well, and I don't know. It's this sort of invasion of spaces. Let men and women have their spaces.
Wait a minute. We're allowing men into the female locker rooms.
Oh,
now.
They
just have to be dressed and identify a certain way.
Yeah.
All right. In 1996, comedian George Burns passed away at 100 years old.
I loved him. George and Gracie, they were so, so great. And of course, he was he played God in the Oh God movies with John Denver. So awesome. 1997, Biggie Smalls, a.k.a. Christopher Wallace and Notorious B.I.G., is killed in Los Angeles. I was not a big rap fan, but I do remember sort of the L.A., the East Coast, West Coast rap things, Tupac and all of that. I do remember that. Well, I do. That was the 90s.
My biggest question with all of this stuff is, how are these two of the biggest unsolved murders with as high profile as they were?
And I thought they're all, you've seen the AI where you've seen the mage where Tupac's like living in Vegas with Elvis or something. Yeah. He's now in his 60s.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, but so much of it, I just sit here and go, it reminds me of these other very high profile murders where you just know there's some connected people involved.
Oh yeah.
And that's why there's never been arrests made and, you know, convictions for these.
With everything that we know now in 2026, I just, there's more pieces fallen. I think they're all going to fall. Things, it's like things are being revealed. So we shall see. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. We got to talk about this big story. We talked about this last week with Jeff Reynolds with restoration-news.com. Honey Badger Mom is a great follow on Twitter, and she broke a pretty bombshell story that went pretty viral over the weekend. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and the Perlin Mill.
Okay, so big story, the first one. And her byline out here, I will say her byline, CK Boferacci, she goes by Honey Badger Mom on X. Follow her. She's the woman is she is out there. She is doing the work. She is doing she and a number of other of independent journalists in Oregon and Washington. You got Katie Daviscourt. You've got Brandy Cruz. You've got another Jason Rance, a bunch of other ones that get out there and get on the front lines. I mean, with the Nick Shirleys and the Nick Sorters to get this information to us. If you are not on X, you don't know this stuff.
Well, this is the information that the mainstream media will never cover.
Right. Right. So she breaks this headline. Oregon taxpayers are funding a legal army to fight federal immigration enforcement. This is over at restoration-news.com. Again, I can't stress this enough. Bookmark this site. They are doing amazing work over there. And this she's talking about Oregon is the only. I'll read a little from the article and then we can talk about it. Oregon is the only state in America that uses taxpayer money to provide free lawyers to illegal immigrants fighting deportation. The program has represented nearly 6,500 people since 2022 and is actively being used as a strategic tool to obstruct federal immigration enforcement. The organizations running it openly compare ICE to slave patrols and call detention centers concentration camps. And a sitting Portland City Council is coordinating strategy with them at a wine and pizza activist night, she says, on how to make sure as few people as possible are ever deported from Oregon. This is a very long interview. She brings all the receipts. Wow.
Well, I just sit there and I start with, you know, we've all seen the videos, even in the coverage that we get from the mainstream media of those couple of tents that sit outside the detention center in Portland that are lawyers' tents. They're literally sitting there waiting for someone to represent. And you go, oh, they're doing that. You know, the way it's presented is the kindness of their hearts. These are activist lawyers. And, you know, you can give them a little credit. They're activist lawyers. They want to follow their passion. They're going to do it pro bono, whatever. Well, now we're really kind of finding out the truth. They're not out there out of the goodness of their hearts. They're out there because we're paying for them to be out there.
Exactly. And she goes on to write the Portland ICE building, ICE office is being used as a coordination hub, and they're admitting it. She says the activists running this program will tell you openly if you pay attention, despite massive protests to the contrary, They don't want to shut down the Portland ICE office right now. They want it open. Even the city administrator has come on board with this idea, not because they support immigration enforcement, because they use it as a physical anchor point to route their state-funded legal defense work to detained immigrants before federal officials can move them somewhere out of state where they can't help them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it tells you a whole lot, because there's been these, you know, big protests. They've, you know, shut down Portland City Council meetings and this and that about shutting down the ICE facility. And even the most socialist representatives on that council aren't gunning for shutting it down.
No.
They're wanting to find these little things like charging the property owner for the disturbances and things like that, knowing that one of two things, those will either get thrown out of court is how do you hold the property owner for responsible for what's going on, number one, or two, the government will just end up paying it off. Those are the two things they're gunning for.
Yes, exactly. And she's got quotes in here from the executive director of ACLU Oregon, a woman named I'm assuming it's a woman, named Sandy Chung.
Whoever it is, they got into a women's locker room, right?
She made this clear in response to an audience question at 350 PDX meeting and documentary screening on February 11th. So let me read the quote. I'll just read the quote. The ICE office and facility in Portland, that's a really complicated situation. They're not a detention center. They are simply a processing facility. We first need to get rid of the harmful detention centers, especially the ones in Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. The Washington State one. Oregon right now does not have a detention center. I think they're going to be building, they're wanting to build one in Newport. Anyway, back to the quote. We also need to make sure that their efforts to build any other centers in Oregon, we stop it. What does this mean? We need at least for some period of time people to be in Oregon. Great. Mm-hmm. What happened when that ICE facility was closed down by the feds was we couldn't connect our attorneys in Oregon. We just couldn't locate people. We didn't know where ICE had them. And so we couldn't actually get our attorney to represent them. If they've already reached the detention centers in Louisiana, Mississippi, or Texas, they have a lot less rights. My quotations, because the courts there are much more hard. And that is the quote. She's basically saying that the ICE facility is necessary to their work, a logistical asset in their legal defense operation.
Is it ironic how much some of these key issues that our Democrat socialist leadership want to us to focus on, homelessness, drugs, ICE facilities, how the policy seems to be, we don't really want to fix the problem. We just want to live with the problem because that's where these grifts all get paid from. And I just sit there and go, it takes me to the city of Salem giving $200,000 to activist groups in order to, promote legal fees here locally.
Yeah, I had post-shared this story on my thread, and somebody brought that up, that's happening here. So it isn't necessarily restricted to Portland. You're seeing it in other areas, and it's certainly not restricted to the state of Oregon. Oregon is always the petri dish. A lot of it starts here, but I can guarantee you it never stays here.
Yeah, and that's the concerning parts of these things is, yes, this is primarily in Portland right now because it has that ICE facility hub, but I suspect that Salem is not alone in a community. I can see it happening in Bend or Eugene, Medford. Yeah. These communities, city council's deciding we're going to invest this money through NGOs to help with those kinds of legal fees and processing. And I sit here and go, that's not our responsibility. Portland announced over the weekend that they had to drop charges on over 1,000 cases because they couldn't find public defenders to represent accused criminals.
Yeah.
So they can't find money and people to do those jobs, but yet we're here paying as taxpayers probably top dollar for lawyers to represent illegal immigrants in a very short window.
Yeah, and they're asking for another $10 million to keep it going. So obviously it's not the first state to resist this, but it is the only state that has built a permanent publicly funded legal apparatus. And it didn't happen overnight. These things happen slowly over time. It's sort of death by 1,000 cuts. It's $200,000 for these groups here. There was also an article, the newsletter, if you get Iron Patriot, put something out as far as the tactics, bully tactics, screaming, yelling, demanding, going in and intimidating and to demanding money. First they demanded $400,000, but they got $200,000 in Salem.
Yeah. And I just sit here and go, you know, maybe us as taxpayers need to kind of band together and go in and start making demands of city council and things like that, saying, hey, you know, there is massive homeless camps all along the freeway. Let's demand money to fund drug rehabilitations and make it a mandatory thing to help alleviate some of these problems we see on the streets today.
Yeah, well, it just goes to show you again that those local elections that people sometimes seem to not can't be bothered by, because again, this is being run by Portland City Council. Mm-hmm. These decisions, the $200,000 was made by the Salem City Council. And again, you've got elections in May to turn this Salem City Council over and to replace a lot of the people that have made these decisions. These are the consequences. And again, it doesn't happen in one fell swoop. It happens slowly, incrementally, mm-hmm. when people aren't paying attention.
Well, and you really break it down and you go, this is trackable money, yep. dedicated to these things. How many little things are happening outside of our purview, whether it's through the school district or the city in these programs that are kind of backdoor funneling money to these kinds of programs?
It's all fungible. Mm. Yeah, so we're only allowed to use it for this, but then that frees up this little pot over here to use for this, and mm-hmm. this little pot over here to use for this.
Yeah, because, well, and the other part, of course, as we know, government loves their scope creep. They don't want to stick in their lane. They want to make sure they touch every aspect of your life. So let's change that come May. Please, please, yeah. please.
Yeah, yeah. And know that this is this model is being studied and it will be replicated if you're not careful. If you're in a red state, watch out. All right, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour of news. Lots more to talk about. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Okay, this is filed under news, not satire. And again, I had to double check, and the article I'm referring to does link to an article. It is a KETU article. The headline is Portland floats Netflix fee to pay for arts meant to convince you to go downtown. My, if you watch it, if you eat it, if it moves, we're going to tax it. That's the Portland way.
Just looking at this article, yeah, your first initial reaction is this has got to be some kind of joke.
No, it can't be real.
Because they're not going to address the crime. They're not going to address the homeless. They're not going to address the drug use. They're not going to address the fact that there is nothing downtown. 30% of the storefronts are empty, but they are going to go ahead and tax your Netflix and other subscription services, not just Netflix.
Right.
Maybe a quarter a piece. No big deal.
It's just a quarter. What? That's the cost of a sip of a latte.
Well, I'm sitting here
it's
going,
a sip of a latte.
Let's see. If you've got 6-7 streaming services, including like mm-hmm. Spotify, mm-hmm. Apple, Paramount, check. HBO, yeah, check. Disney, yep. Hulu, ESPN. I'm just sitting here going, so that's probably a couple of bucks a month that they are taking to put into a fund to encourage you to head downtown. And I'm guessing that's by marketing and some artwork for you to see out in public.
Isn't there already is an art tax in Portland, and that's mm-hmm. been controversial. It's been there for a while. And yeah, you're right. If you looked at downtown, I'm not sure what art, obviously, if they wanted to get you to go to, you know, to shows, to concerts, to the opera, to things like that, all of which are great. But I don't know how taxing people who have no interest in that, who don't want to go see Madame Butterfly, they'd rather watch Stranger Things from their couch, how taxing them is going to encourage them. The brain trust that sits in these leadership air quote positions is baffling.
Well, there's two trains of thought, like the way they always talk about the cigarette or the alcohol taxes.
Yeah.
If we raise that, less people will use it. And, you know, so I'm kind of like, is this if we tax them, less people will, you know, subscribe to Netflix and other streaming services and instead spend more time downtown? Granted. Yeah. You know, why watch Stranger Things on TV when you could just go downtown Portland and see Stranger Things?
Oh, good point. Very good point. Mm-hmm. You can just see it in real life.
Save your quarter and head on downtown for Stranger Things.
The upside down is what now? The pearl? It's now the upside down. This is so funny. And again, I want credit to that Oregon Life, another really great site. Again, not not satire. So yeah, the article is really good. It's pretty short.
Yeah. Well, my understanding. It sounds like they're modeling it's something like this is happening in Chicago already and has been there for a while. But I'm kind of like, why not just do an internet fee or something along those lines? Why specifically pick out these streaming services to charge for?
I don't know. It seems like it's two different demographics. I mean, granted, everybody streams everything now. So you're going to hit some of your target people. A lot of them are going to be like, well, I'm not interested in that.
Are they going to add the quarter to streaming NPR?
Oh, no.
Oh, I doubt it.
not precious NPR. So this is Council President John Dunphy is floating this. And again, this article does link to a KATU story, which I guess adds to its legitimacy. He said, quote, the Portland's biggest challenge is that people have not felt safe and the economy is struggling because of it. We're a huge arts and music city. Yes. And we have a naturally existing resource sitting right there. So I'm just like, what are you going to use the money for? Clearly there's a animosity and a sort of an, they don't like law enforcement. Mm-hmm. So I don't get this, how this is going
to
work.
All I can imagine is a extensive marketing campaign to try and reinvigorate people and convince them that downtown isn't quite what, you know, those conservative media makes it out to be.
So this is lipstick on a pig.
That would be my assumption.
Okay. So they're going to have a big splashy marketing campaign, but they're not going to talk about the biggest challenges he stated is not feeling safe and a struggling economy. So let's make people who are already struggling struggle a little more.
Well, if they have to cancel, guess what? They got no other options but to go downtown. I mean, it's like living an episode of what, Cops or, you know, Jailbreak or Escape from New York. I mean, imagine all those things you could stream and watch, but you could just live them out in downtown Portland.
Wow. So apparently some people are kind of pushing back and they're expecting they may have some kind of a legal pushback. So we have a robust legal team that is really skilled attorneys who are fighting lawsuits every day. So one additional lawsuit over this would not be particularly bad for our budget. In other words, if this they have all the time and the money in the world to fight you.
Well, and I had this conversation with a friend over the weekend, and that's the problem with activist governments such as what you see in Portland and, of course, the rest of Oregon, is they can do whatever they want, expecting that worst case scenario, there becomes legal challenges, which they could outspend Elon Musk against a legal challenge. And how many steps does it take to you get out of activist judges in Oregon in the Northwest before you'll actually hear somebody who would rule on the constitutionality of something?
Right. And you look at the legal challenges like to measure 114, that the battles have been going on for years since, was it 2022 when that monstrosity passed? You even look at all the shenanigans and the games being played with the gas tax, the $1 billion gas tax and all the games. Again, you've got Democrats in control of everything. And, you know, Constitution, wow, it's so cute.
Constitution.
Isn't it cute?
Yeah. Constitution, so smonstitution. Who needs that thing?
It's adorable in that little cursive writing. My gosh. Here's another one. And again, hoping this is satire. This is out at newsbreak.com, which is an aggregator. It's by the same guy from the that Oregon Life. Portland gyms eliminate heavy weights after city officials agree masculinity is offensive to several pro-towns. Tell me this is satire, Hunter.
This is the one I saw last week, and my initial reaction is, oh my gosh, this has to be a joke. But then you're seeing it in all these other feeds, giving it legitimacy, and I'm kind of going, I can't imagine this is something that a lot of gyms are doing, but I can definitely see certain gyms going, okay, well, you know, this section of our people are very loud. They're active. They want to do their thing. And seeing some bulked up guy lifting heavy weights is just intimidating for them.
Ooh, it's ookity. I because you see all the, what's that, Joey Swall, who goes in and, you know, kind of shames the chicks that go in there in their little tight outfits and film everybody and the guys doing what guys do, which is looking at nice-looking, attractive, well-built women, and then they try to put it out on the internet. I say get rid of that. My dad, back in the day, was a weightlifter. He was Junior Mr. New Jersey, I don't know what year, and the gym he always worked out at was called Max's Iron Den.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to fly in Max's Iron Den. That's where the guys go to work out. And if you want to be a girl going in there to work out, you better fit in with the guys. Otherwise, you're not welcome there. And I think that's fine. This is crap. This stuff drives me insane.
Well, I sit here and go, it's like a win-win for these gyms because you know, here's the thing we know about gyms is at the end of the year and the first month of a new year, they push that, that, you know, year membership, get a first month free or, you know, pennies on the dollar, yada, yada. And then they expect 90% of the people to quit. So they take that money, they buy equipment with it, right? Well, now they don't have to buy the equipment. Now they can just sit on that little nest egg, maybe give it to, you know, some illegal immigrant legal fund or something like that. I mean, I'm just going, the insanity of a gym doing away with actual weightlifting is almost hysterical.
I have to think this is satire.
I
just for this line, let me read this line to you.
Okay.
Under the new system, heavy iron plates and barbells will be replaced with soft foam cubes weighing between 1 and 3 pounds. The cubes come in calming pastel colors and feature supportive messages such as "you tried, and that's what matters. Your pace is valid, and strength is a feeling." This has to be satire.
I lean to the satire side of things, but at the same time, I can see there being gyms in the Portland area that would do exactly this. They don't want that toxic masculinity coming in, and rather than just tell them, you know, stay away from our gym, go down to, you know, somebody else, they just kind of passive aggressively get rid of all the actual weights and make it an uncomfortable place for those alpha males to be.
With all the grunting and moving. See, when I like to lift, and I got injured, so I haven't been able to, but I like to lift heavy. When I can, I like to lift heavy, and you do make noise.
Mm-hmm.
You do get sweaty. You do look pretty grody when you're doing it because you're like, you got to get the form just right. I'm going to call this satire. I'm hoping it's satire. Please be satire. Because, I mean, we're kind of doomed.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on. I mean, not that you would have been to Portland to see, but it's almost par for the course. And that's why the line is so blurred on whether this is all a joke or not.
We don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a last break. We got to talk about this story because this one's really disturbing. This is actually going on up in Washington State. Thurston County Sheriff Derek Sanders has issued a statement about this. This is serious stuff. We got to talk about this when we come back. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care and Cozy's New York Deli.
All right. So this is coming out of the Cowlitz Regional News. This is breaking. This is out of Thurston County. Thurston County Sheriff Derek Sanders issues a statement on the legislature's passage of Senate Bill 5974, which would allow an unelected board to remove sheriffs in Washington. Sit with that sentence for a second. Now, we all know our sheriffs. We have great sheriffs in the state of Oregon. There's great sheriffs all over the place. Idaho, California, Nevada. What you want in the county that you live in is a constitutional sheriff. They are the last bulwark, the last stand between government tyranny. They stand between you. That's why they are elected. The people choose them. This is terrifying, what's happening in Washington State.
Yeah, I mean, we here in Oregon recognize what a disaster unelected bureaucracies create. And it seems like every time we turn around, they're putting together another unelected bureaucracy to oversee something. And I just sit here and go, those are so, you can't hold them accountable. You can't, you know, make your opinion known to them. They just get to make the decision based on how they're feeling on a Monday afternoon and whatever they decide stands. And I sit here and go, which now the state of Washington wants to give an unelected group of activists, and that's what they're going to be. They're not going to be, you know, regular everyday citizens. The opportunity to remove an elected sheriff for whatever reason they choose.
Well, yeah. So the statement, which you can go read, I went over to his Facebook page and he's got it out there. Again, this is Sheriff Derek Sanders. He is running for re-election. There's a quote here. The state of Washington has passed the, quote, the Sheriff Removal Without Your Permission Bill, a piece of legislation that will now allow non-elected state-appointed board, like you said, to remove elected officials. So it's, he's saying, unless you're a lawmaker, that he goes into, he lists some statutes and things like that. It's a pretty long post, but it basically undermines local elections and it creates unnecessary mistrust toward state government. And it spits in the face of the democratic process. Again, these are elected by the people. You look at your ballot and sheriffs are on there. You're electing a sheriff.
Mm-hmm. Well, he points out in this quote that, you know, a sitting lawmaker who was elected, who's accused of sexual harassment or even worse, doesn't fall into this statute where they could just be removed willy-nilly. But yet they want the sheriffs to literally walk on eggshells to the point where they could be removed simply because somebody on this board doesn't like what they're doing.
Which is, again, somebody with a clipboard, a little person with a little bit of power. I posted this on my page and a number of people have commenting. I've got another one saying, too, this is the same legislature that passed an income tax bill straight through that will go to the governor's office to sign. Same, we're seeing the same thing happening in Oregon. You've got these things that are, they're just bypassing the people altogether. That, again, that silly little constitution, it's so quaint. Look at that parchment. Isn't that funny? It feels so funny to touch it, which you can't, unless, whatever. But it's like, who cares? It's just an impediment. It's an inconvenience. We don't need it. Step aside. We're going to do whatever the hell we want. In Oregon, they did that with driver's card. Mm-hmm. The people spoke. And overwhelmingly, with the exception of Multnomah County, said, no, we don't want to do that. And the legislature didn't care. You're going to do that. You got an income tax. And again, one of the reasons people kind of, you know, live in Oregon and work in Washington is there's no income tax.
Well, I just sit here and go, you know, the left coast, California, Washington, Oregon, yep, have really brought down the shield protecting them and shown their true colors, that they do not represent the people. You're electing Democrats in these three states to be your kings, to be your queens, to be your overseers and your directors, and they do not care what you think, even in the slightest.
And they don't bother to even try to hide it and to try to maybe snow you and lie to your face. They don't even bother to lie to your face anymore. It's interesting to note that people from other states where Oregonians and Washingtonians and Californians are moving to, they're collectively known as cows, which I find very derogatory and insulting. But, you know, again, there's so many people don't move over to my red state and bring your stupid lunatic, you know. But it's like, I have to tell you, most of the people, they're seeing stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what you do about this. A lot of people are like, do you take them to court? What do you do? Because your tax money is feeding this. You are feeding the beast when you pay your taxes. So if you stay in these states to fight, which is a valid thing to do, people have got to make those choices. But I'm seeing some hard red lines coming up for people. Some choices need to be made, because this stuff being pushed through, if you've got some bow-tied bureaucrat who can decide that they don't like your constitutional sheriff, what do you do?
Well, I just sit here and I go, if this makes it all the way to law in the state of Washington, within 6 months, it will be on the table in Oregon. Because,
oh, gosh, yes.
Some of these constitutional sheriffs here in Oregon, like Harney County out in eastern Oregon,
yep.
They would love to create the power to just get them out of the way so they can make their directives and there is no pushback whatsoever. And if this thing happens, it will spread like wildfire. Oregon, California, New York, New Jersey, they will all jump on board with this. And it will slowly, especially as people realize that something like this just makes your state even that much more dangerous, because now police officers are resigning and leaving the state in droves. They start heading east or west. If you're on the East Coast, they start voting the same way because for some reason these people can't figure it out. And now all of a sudden, place like Boise, Idaho starts talking about it. Right. Las Vegas, it becomes a topic of discussion. This thing is as dangerous as it gets. And unfortunately, the state of Washington recognizes that if they pass this, they make it law. The worst thing that's going to happen is a legal challenge that they can outlast anybody and everybody on getting to the point where they can have what they want.
Yes, and that goes back to what we were talking about with the Restoration News, as far as the legal funds and city money being and municipal taxpayer money being diverted to these nonprofits, NGOs, all this kind of stuff, to fund things that most Oregonians, most Washingtonians do not want their taxpayer dollars going to. And I think most people are like, well, the thought of not paying your taxes is sort of to most people. Mm-hmm. Because again, the government has all the time and all the money in the world to go after you. Yep. If you don't, so what's your recourse? I think there needs to be, and I've seen a number of people, especially some independent journalists who are already on the front lines and worried for their safety. You've seen a number of them be surrounded by these mobs, by BLM mobs, by Antifa mobs, and the police don't do anything to help them. You think something like this goes through, they're going to feel more safe or less safe? At what point do you say, I got to get out of here?
Well, you know, while we've got a couple of minutes left, of course, you know, we had the end of the short session occur over this weekend.
Yep.
But before that happened, every single Democrat, Oregon senator, voted against informing ICE when an illegal immigrant was convicted of a felony involving a named victim is released by prison. So what it is right back to square one. These are the easiest people to remove from society is a criminal that has a crime against another person.
Yeah, and is already in custody.
And rather than just hand them over to have them removed from our society once and for all, we are going to secretly release them back into the streets thanks to every Democrat senator in Oregon.
You know, and I'm looking at the comments on this. This is a Libs of TikTok post again, so that went again massively viral. Mm-hmm. I want to get out of here so badly. Oregon Democrats definitely hate us. I mean, I don't know what else you could... How else do you read that?
Yeah. Well, and that just brings me right around to, you know, a couple of months from now, the May primary. Get out, vote down the gas tax if it makes it that far. Vote for the people that you believe best represent you. And judging by what I see constantly online, it's not a Democrat in the state of Oregon. Find me one that represents the people.
I don't know of any. I think most Democrats don't relate because, I mean, obviously, you know, the old, it's not your father's Democrat Party. It's not the JFK. It isn't. It has been. It is now the party of progressive Marxist, communist, socialist. And that's what their agenda is. And they are the party of chaos. They want chaos. All of this. And that's I know we're running out of time here, but that's the thing. Stop thinking that they're stupid. Stop thinking that they don't know what they're doing. Stop thinking that they're soft on crime. All of that is a lie. They know exactly what they're doing. They are not stupid. This is all very well orchestrated, very well funded, and it is against you.
Well, and no matter what you think of the Trump administration at this point, stop believing that every Republican only is going to follow what their master says. I mean, that's the other thing that I constantly see is this idea that if you have an R behind your name, it just means you are a pawn under Trump's system.
No. Well, first of all, it means research, regardless. You know, there's also a lot of people getting fed up with at the federal level, the Republicans as well, with Thune and with Cornyn and all of that. And so
which is totally fine. Just don't shoot yourself in the foot because of
exactly, it. Exactly. Exactly. Scott Pressler, real quick before we run out, I'm hearing dozens of members of the House will vote no to any legislation coming out of the Senate until the Save America Act is signed into law. There are avenues to put pressure, put pressure, continue with the pressure. And above all, for the love of Pete, vote.
Yes.
That is the easiest, lowest hanging fruit. Vote. Vote for the Republican.
Yeah.
What have you got to lose?
That just needs to be the tagline for the next 6 months. Vote Republican. What do you got to lose?
What have you got to lose? Can't get any worse.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. They claim no kings, but yet they want the kings and the queens in Oregon.
They appear to. All right. Thanks. That's it for us today, everybody. Good discussion. We've got Real Estate Insights tomorrow with Amy McLeod. Come on back on then.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.